just about an hour from now. We're going to continue talking about the Defense Department, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates has told Foreign Policy magazine that he wants to retire sometime next year, and probably before the 2012 elections. We're in a period of real fiscal restraint right now, as we just heard, and the secretary has been working on all these reforms in the new DOD budget. So how hard will it be for the next defense secretary to follow that plan? Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive, and he joins us right here, right now, live. Mr. Shoup, how are you?
Just fine. How are you, Chris?
A lot of, I go away for a week, and just, you're not, no one's supposed to make news while I'm away.
You're not allowed to ever leave.
Yeah, that's right. This was, I mean, in a town where we sort of get used to these kinds of things coming down the pike, this it seemed like, as I was reading it, a pretty big announcement, both about the cuts, but also about the defense secretary deciding to say, hey, I'm not going to be here forever.
Yes, well, potentially not going to be
right.
Here, which I was thinking about today, and I literally just came up with this, so I'm giving you not breaking news, but a breaking metaphor.
There you go.
That is, I'm from Minnesota, and so I'm a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, so I cannot help, even though I don't like it, but getting caught up every year in the annual Brett Favre, is he retiring or is he not retiring thing. And here's what occurred.
He's not retiring.
That's the latest news is he's on a plane back to Minnesota. Here's what occurred to me today. Robert Gates is becoming the Brett Favre of government. First he says he can't envision joining the Obama administration. Then he does. Then he says, I'm going to retire. Then his spokesman says, well, you know, every other time he said he's going to retire, he hasn't actually retired. So we'll see what actually happens.
It's, you know, one of the enjoyable things about that, and you know this, having hired a bunch of people, he made his comments to a former reporter of mine, Josh Rogan, who now works at the cable at Foreign Policy magazine. And it's always nice when you see one of your reporters go off and do something, you know, prove himself. I mean, I knew he was great, and I knew he was going to go places, but it's always nice to see people do.
Yeah. It is nice when you knew him back when.
Yeah, I knew him back when and gave him, it's always delightful to see. But, this defense secretary has been very interesting to watch because, what a contrast to Donald Rumsfeld, who sort of came in like, you know, and was telling everyone what to do. Secretary Gates has always struck me as very collaborative and yet pushing the organization in ways I think that it may feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he's built up an incredible amount of credibility over the years. So when he comes in and does something like he did last week, which is to, you know, really kind of drop a bomb in terms of cutting overhead spending at defense, he can get away with that in a way that others couldn't. I mean, that would have been a dead-on-arrival proposal for a lot of people, but not necessarily for him. Now, the downside of that is it is tied to him personally in a very great degree.
Now, how much of it is systemic, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I think, part of the reason for the sort of will he or won't he line now, because I think the Pentagon is now trying to, you know, reestablish that, hey, a wait-him-out strategy may not necessarily work here. He may be around to see these things through, because even for someone like him, who I think carries much more clout than your average defense secretary, this is this is as uphill a battle as it gets. When you're talking about eliminating jobs and eliminating organizations in government, it just doesn't get any tougher.
Well, and I occasionally go back and read President Eisenhower's defense industrial complex speech because it's... it's amazingly well written, but also it harkens back, I think, and will cause you to think a little bit about the challenges that folks are facing now. And as we saw in the Washington Post intelligence series, as you make those cuts, guess what? This is, we had on one of the congressmen from down in where the Joint Forces Command is saying, hold on, why didn't they confer? Why, you know, it's very hard for a politician in that local area to go along with it.
Right. It's extremely difficult. The forces start to array themselves right away, and that's a critical one. Members of Congress in these areas are going to come to the defense of the operations that are in the crosshairs.
All that, however, sounds very depressing, like it's impossible to make change in this town.
Yeah, I mean, I think impossible is probably too strong a word, and things are getting... The situation with the defense budget is very, very dire. And I think that is one of the things that, you know, that worked in Gates' favor in terms of trying to push something that's really this radical. I think, you know, a lot of people are not really aware that it's not just the spending on the wars that's driving the defense budget upward. Their commitments to health care costs and retirement costs for military personnel are just huge. And they are eating up the defense budget, and Gates is well aware of this. And without something like this, you know, without some kind of drastic action, there are going to be very serious issues with the defense budget.
And the medical costs is something that I think hasn't gotten much attention, but and Secretary Gates has said over and over again, we can't afford to keep going on the same path we're on.
Right. It's kind of amazing. I mean, I just got done working on our top 200 federal contractors issue, and if you look at the list of top contractors, the big names, yeah, the Lockheed Martins, the Boeings are there. You go down a little bit further, they're healthcare companies.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, just
billions and billions of dollars that are being spent on that.
So I was off last week, and I was reading this book. Have you heard of this book? It's called Directive 51. By hold on, I have the author here. John Barnes. And it's about this this person who heads up a newfangled office called the Office of Future Threat Assessment. And they're investigating something called the Daybreak, which is a group of diverse and radical folks who get together and create a way of taking, you know, attacking the government around the world. And then
this
there's
was your vacation reading.
They're going to make it into a movie. I promise. Wow. You, because the book is just it's one of these thriller books.
Ah.
And it's but you know, we cover all this cyber stuff and it's just it's one of these can't put down books. And it's a lot of it's funny because so much of it takes place in Washington, and you know, with Washington movies and Washington books, whenever you're reading these things, all of a sudden you know, they start talking about things, and you go, hold on, I know that spot, I know where they're talking. It's really I recommend it.
Oh, all right.
I haven't quite finished it with. I'll finish it this week, but it's for when you're taking some time off sometime soon here.
Yeah, toward the end of the month.
There you go.